And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg in Fargo, and we have Sue Balcom in Bismarck for Main Street Eats.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
You want to talk about the state fruit of North Dakota?
Oh, you already know that? Doggone it. Everybody should know what the state fruit of North Dakota is because it's something that, if you grew up here, was part of your life on the prairie, and that would be our illustrious choke cherry.
And they're called that because?
Oh, yeah, because my brother ate a whole bunch of them one time and got, like, totally sick from them. They're so dry, you know. They're, like,
a little bitter, aren't they?
Yeah. Very tart, and they dry your throat out. And then he was thirsty, and he drank some milk, and it was, like, really unpleasant. But I'll never forget that. Because we used to run around as kids, and chokecherry trees grew everywhere. Everywhere, all the vacant lots and all the old tree rows, you know, the shelter belts that were planted a long time ago. If the soil was right, there were chokecherry and plum trees in there.
And these have pits.
Oh, they do have pits, and they're kind of a pit when it comes to processing because they are tiny, and that pit by far exceeds the size that it should within that beautiful fruit. But everybody loves choke cherries. And so my brother and I picked over 100 pounds one day.
Wow.
Down in Jamestown.
So when you took the pits out, what did you have?
Okay, so therein lies the fun. So first you have to, of course, wash them. And that's not as difficult as you would think because you put them in a cold sink or a sink of cold water, and a lot of times all the leaves and stems that aren't connected will rise to the surface. And if you're a good picker, you won't have a lot of stems. You'll have a lot of berries. So rinse them, pull all the leaves and stuff out of there. And then, of course, to process them into jams or jellies, you need to put them in cover them with water and simmer them slowly. Now, there is a difference between boiling something and simmering something. If you boil it, it usually boils a lot of the flavor away. So you want to keep them just at that temperature where they're cooking, but they're not, you know, going to run over and ruin your burners, which that's always
a pain. Is there a little bubbling going on, or is it just steam coming off the pot?
No, a little bubbling, but you don't want a rolling boil, at least not until you're making jam or jelly out of them.
Now, the way you've described these berries, I suspect a fair amount of sweetener is added if you're going to make anything with them.
Well, actually, I use here was my mom's standard recipe for jam or jelly. She said you measure out your 4 cups of fruit and you put 4 cups of sugar in there. And of course, then you boil it hard for 7 minutes and put your pectin in, let it boil for a minute and put that into jars. And many times when I don't have a recipe for something, I will fall back on that. Chokecherries are picky, though. You know, like, first of all, you got to remove the flavor from those pits. And so that requires one of those cone-shaped strainers that have a wooden mallet in them.
A chinois?
Oh, there's a name for that thing?
Yeah. Well, at least in French.
I had not known that. My mom used to have something that looked like a kettle, and it had a stir stick in there that rubbed those cherries along the bottom and squeezed the pulp out. You want the pulp for flavor. Unless you want to make syrup, then you just want the juice. So like if you're making a jelly, you would take those boiled or simmered choke cherries and pour them in a dish towel, which you'll never use again because it will be purple in the middle. And just let them drip. Do not squeeze at all or you're going to get pulp in there and you won't have a fine, clear jelly. But if you like that extra flavor, which I always do, I'll run them through that cone-shaped thing and squeeze as much of that pulp out of there as possible. What you don't want to do, and I can't attest to this because we've eaten chokecherries our entire lives and lots of them. And I've never, ever known anyone to get sick, but the pits are supposedly poisonous. So don't crush or break the pits because if you have small children or, you know, it might make you sick if you get enough of it. I don't know why, but all cherries of the Prunus gender have poisonous pits, and I really have never paid attention to that. and I'm still here. But they say cattle will get sick from eating too many choke cherries. So,
am I correct in thinking, too, that this jam and jelly application, very much sort of the Scandinavian and the German and the sort of colonizer approach to choke cherries, but within indigenous food systems, it's often used in a savory way and with meat in particular.
Right. They made pemmican out of it. And, you know, it was my understanding that they actually crushed the whole thing. Like, you know, there weren't any instructions, of course. And I've never really asked whether or not they scraped the seeds out of there or whether they crushed them, because I did find a recipe, an indigenous recipe from the New Native American Cooking Cookbook, that was for High Plains pudding. And it was simply 2 cups of choke cherries, and they could be fresh, frozen, or dried, and a cup of honey and 3 to 4 cups of water, and you simmer that together, and then you use 1/4 cup of flour to thicken that, make it kind of creamy. I don't imagine that it gets too thick. But it does not say in this recipe whether or not they left the pits in there. So I can't even attest to that. But, you know, they're indigenous to this area. And so the natives used them, and they did mix them with buffalo and whatever else, made pudding out of them and things like that. So I'm sure that when people homesteaded here, they grew along the river.
I assume that the reason we're talking about choke cherries now.
It's in season,
there
baby.
You go. So we can go look for them.
Yes. And they are, I wouldn't go trespassing on anybody's land, but if you put the word out that you're looking for choke cherries, there are many, many people who have too many to use. The secret is that they won't pick them for you. You're going to have to go pick them yourself. And we had so much fun. It was just a lovely day. It was cool. There wasn't any sun. There weren't a lot of mosquitoes because there was a breeze. But if you get really good at it, you can kind of milk them off their stems. And this year's choke cherries, oh my gosh, they are thick and rich and fat, and they aren't always this abundant. So what you want to do is take them home, take some extra ones home, wash them off, and just kind of rinse the dirt off, and then shake the water off of them. Throw them in a bag or a old ice cream container and put them in your freezer. And then that way you're not juicing them all at once. And so then you can take some out as you decide to use them. Now, there is this thing, like when I'm at market, and I never used to do choke cherry jelly because I thought, oh, it's such a pain. But everybody wants choke cherry jelly. However, when it sets up, which is an art, there's an art to getting choke cherry jelly to set up. People will come by and I'm like, look, I'm so proud of this. My jelly set up. Look, it's swooshing and all this good stuff. And they're like, well, I really wanted the runny stuff so I could like dunk my toast in there instead of spread it. I'm like, I can't win. Then when it's runny, they're looking for the thick stuff. So all the German people I know eat the runny. If the jelly didn't set up, it became syrup. And then you ate that with your dumplings. And it was all good.
Yeah, make do with what you've got.
That's right.
Use it up. Wear it out. Do with it or do without. We check in with Sue Balcom once a week for Main Street Eats. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
And you can see all of those on our website. That's prairiepublic.org. And, of course, Sue, you have your own website. We can direct people to recipes at theroots.com. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.